Namo Vishnu Puraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vananta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Namaste Swami Vadi Paskati Om Gyanatam Nandasya Jnanjana Svakaya Saksa Samaritan Zena Tashmai Sri Ravena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapita Mijena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dati Sampana Manjikopatubhischa Kripasindubhaya Vrcha Patitanam Prabhanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Who remembers where we are up to?
At the start of chapter 6.
Yes. Remembers what we spoke about last. Maybe a little more general than I was probing for. What happened last? We all know what book this is, yes?
Nanda and Vasudeva were discussing their Kamsa's.
Didn't directly discuss Kamsa.
No, they were a little concerned about Krishna, that Krishna was the center of their concern.
Yes. Where were they? Do you remember that?
In Mathura.
And Nanda Maharaj had gone there to somewhat placate evil Kamsa, because if someone gives you a gift, there's a tendency to be a little favorably disposed towards that person. And Nanda Maharaj's idea was simply to protect Krishna. And then when he saw Vasudev said, "Don't stay here too long. You've now paid your taxes and we've seen each other. It's probably best that you go back to Gokul, because there may be some disturbances there." Now, what is the next chapter? So this was actually, we've heard something about the auspicious birth ceremony of Krishna, which was discussed in that fifth chapter. Now, the next chapter, does anyone know the subject matter?
Putana?
Yes, it's Putana. Putana is killed. Who knows, who remembers anything from that story, that pastime? If you've raise your hand if you've read the Krishna book, of course. Charlie, you've read it? That's good. Have you read it?
Bits here and there.
Linda, you've read it?
The last two chapters.
Yes. You've read it. Now, who remembers something from that chapter? Yes?
Putana walks into Rajana and sort of suspects her.
Yes.
She tricks everyone by making herself look beautiful. She changes her form into a beautiful.
Yes. Because Kamsa had sent so many. This was the plan that we read about in a previous chapter, that so many of his friends, demonic people have demonic friends, so many of his powerful demonic friends were engaged to kill all the children born in the last 10 days, for they were predicted to be the death of Kamsa. Thank you. Anyone else remember anything from that chapter? Anything?
She put poison on her breast to
yes.
Krishna, and Krishna sucked out her life.
Yes.
And she reverted back to her
Rakshasa form.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nanda thought that Vasudev was really an astrologer or something. Yes,
some type of a mystic. It actually describes that he thought he probably got these mystic powers to predict that there was a disaster coming from his practices of Astanga Yoga. Thank you.
I remember Thomas saw Krishna. She was attracted to him. He was a very attractive child.
Very attractive. Thank you. Anything else?
Krishna also closed his eyes.
He closed his eyes, and that will be described. He closed his eyes. He did not want to look at Putana as he was killing her. What else?
He
because Putana's body touched Krishna's heart, because Krishna's a person, when she touched her body, the body was sanctified and fragrant.
Yes, and when they ended up burning it. Anything else? Thank you.
Your body grew.
Yeah, it assumed its actual form, because under pressure she could not maintain that old, the new fresh looking body which she was maintaining by her mystic powers.
She couldn't get Krishna off.
Yes, Krishna was holding her very tightly.
Leave me, child.
Yes, leave me, leave me.
She understood when she picked him up that he was like a sword in a velvet case.
Yes.
So powerful.
So powerful.
Destroyed anything.
Now, it's interesting to note that this is the first, this Krishna's birth that's described in the previous chapter, before Vasudev, Nanda Maharaj goes to Mathura. But this is the, other than that, this is the first pastime that we're going to hear that Krishna performs, and this is perhaps 3 months after his birth. Very interesting pastime to be the first one that happens. It's this big demon comes, disguises herself, and then she tries to kill Krishna, and then Krishna kills her. Now, what should we be looking for? Is this a fairy tale, some nice mythological story? What should we be looking for? What is there always to watch in Krishna Lila? Because Krishna comes to get rid of the demon, Pritranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chidaskritam. But he can do that, kill the demons by just the blinking of his eye. He doesn't need to undergo these pastimes in one sense. But what is the real thing that to always be watching for? Whether Krishna is displaying his superhuman powers or acting like a coward boy or a baby. Because Krishna can assume every form at every time. There he is. He has all the potency to be his Navayovanam form, his form like that, the beautiful coward boy. But there he is like a baby. But even while a baby, he has that power too. But he's assuming this form. What were you going to say? What?
His loving dealings with his devotees.
Yes. Always are watching his loving dealings with his devotees. And when a baby or a child is 3 months old, who is the object of his loving dealings? Yeah. Mothers, the elders, the mothers, the fathers especially. So what an amazing thing to do is one of the first pastimes. What he's going to do is immediately put his mothers into complete anxiety. But this type of anxiety is not the anxiety of the material world. Because we'll see this throughout Krishna's pastimes, that it goes from one type of a mood to another type of mood. At one moment the coward boys are playing, the next moment a demon's attacking and Krishna's killing them. And there's different waves going on in this ocean of spiritual ecstasy, different flavors being continuously tasted by the lovers of Krishna. And Krishna ultimately, through his yogamaya energy, his lila shakti, his internal energy, he's orchestrating all these pastimes to allow his dearest devotees to relish different flavors of love. Different flavors, different ecstatic emotions. So watch the emotions, and hear the emotions that they're going to experience. And it's on a different platform than the material platform. But remember, this little baby who is looking so attractively cute is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We've heard in the second and third chapters, universes are coming from him by his kalaṃsa, the portion of his portion of his portion of his portion of his potency. Mama Angsa Sambhava, Mama Angsa Tejo Sambhava. He's maintaining the entire universe with just a fraction of his power. But here he is in a baby form, but he's not a baby. He is always Satchidananda Vigraha. He is always eternity, bliss, and knowledge with full omniscience, full omnipotency. So, in the first text, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining this. He's speaking. My dear king, while Nanda Maharaj was on the way home from Mathura, and his home was Gokul Vrindavan, he considered what Vasudeva had said, that it could not be false or useless to be wary. There must have been some danger of disturbances in Gokul. As Nanda Maharaj thought about the danger for his beautiful son, he wasn't worried about anything but Krishna, because this is the actual mood of a lover of Krishna. Krishna is in the center. So he thought about the danger for his beautiful son Krishna. He was afraid. First thing we hear of. Because when people, religionists, think of heaven, what is their usual thought? What is heaven like?
Your own pleasure.
Okay, but what's the scene? First of all, no one has a very clear idea of heaven, what heaven is. Well, what is heaven? But what is heaven? What do you want people to say? You're going to go to heaven if you're a good boy. What do they think is going to happen there? There's at least a few angels and harps. But it's so peaceful and so happy, and you know, no income tax, no this, no that. No dole office to bother you or whatever. Heaven is centered around me. But look at the difference. The first thing Vasudeva is experiencing as he's walking back from Mathura is anxiety, fear. So peace and the flapping of angels' wings and the sound of harps for a devotee, if it's not centered on Krishna, that is not very, it is not heaven at all. And for a devotee, because like Nanda Maharaj, fully centered on Krishna, even this fear and anxiety is an incredible ecstasy. Can we actually conceive of this right now? No. But this is ecstasy born of love. This is one of the indirect rasas, bhaya. So one really should have studied Bhaktirasamrita, the Sindhu Nectar devotion, to understand the gona rasas and mukhya rasas, direct and indirect rasas. So this is some fear and anxiety, ecstasy he's experienced based on his stai bhava, his permanent situation of ecstasy, on his vatsalya ras, his parental love. Purport. Whenever there is danger, the pure devotee thinks of the protection and shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also advised in Bhagavad Gita, anityam asukam lokam imam prapya vajasvamam. So Prabhupada is taking this to instruct us on somewhat of a lower level, because that Bhagavad Gita verse explains that in this anitya sukham lokam, what is that? Anitya sukham lokam.
It's temporary. Asukham means unhappy place.
Yes, this world of temporary misery, unhappiness. In that world, one should, bhajatsvamam, Krishna says, one should take shelter of me. So Prabhupada's explaining, when there's danger, the pure devotee, he takes shelter of Krishna. He knows this is the very nature of the material world, and he sees this is Krishna's arrangement to pull me towards him, to pull and push. Because when there's a dangerous situation, where do we look for shelter? And if the danger is extreme, when our life is threatened in an extreme circumstance, what situation in this flimsy material world will actually give us shelter and protect us? There's nothing. So the materialist, of course, takes shelter of his terror. And the devotee, unfailingly, the pure devotee, unceasingly, unfailingly, takes full shelter of Krishna. So Prabhupada's explaining from this point of view, but Vasudev, or Nanda Maharaj rather, is experiencing, he's an adept of Krishna consciousness, the highest. So he's experiencing a flavor of ecstasy in this. Therefore, in the material world, there is danger at every step. Padam padam yad vipadam. Therefore, a devotee has no other course than to take shelter of the Lord at every step. So Kamsena, text 2, Kamsena Prahita, King Kamsa, Prahita engaged previously Gaura, very fierce, Putana, Balagatini, a Rakshasi who killed. He had engaged her, and she came from quite a family too, who knows, she had two brothers, one was named as Bakasura. Baka means crooked. The demon who is crooked, and the other one is Aga. Agasura means, Aga means sin. So the sinful, crooked family here. So he engaged this one to kill babies. Well, Nanda Maharaj was returning to Gokul. Now, so we're seeing Nanda Maharaj, he's coming back on the carts. And he's absorbed in thinking about Krishna. And at the same time, Putana, who Kamsa had engaged, a fierce and powerful Rakshasi, who had mystic powers, had previously engaged to kill the babies, because all the babies born in the last 10 days had to be killed. She was wandering about in the cities, towns, and villages, doing her nefarious, evil duties. My dear king, now, listen to this verse. We hear two parts of the story so far. Nanda Maharaj is walking back, Putana is entering the city, and now Sukadeva says, my dear king, whenever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by chanting and hearing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, whenever people in any position, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. Therefore, there was no need for anxiety about Gokul while the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present. Nanda Maharaj was in anxiety. Putana was entering, whose business was to kill children. And she was after killing Nanda Maharaj's beautiful young son, Krishna. And Sukadeva is speaking this to Maharaj Prickett. And what is Maharaj Prickett, who is a devotee of Krishna, what is he experiencing? Which mood is he experiencing? The anxiety of Nanda Maharaj, what's going to happen? Or the mood, oh, I hope that Putana kills this child. Which is he experiencing? Yes, he's starting to feel anxiety. What happens if? Why is he experiencing that? He's not hearing it as some mythology. He's experiencing anxiety because of love for Krishna. Naturally, he doesn't want any harm to come from Krishna. So therefore, Sukadeva, to relieve any anxiety he may be feeling. He tells him that there's no question, even if one chants Krishna's names, all inauspiciousness vanishes. And therefore, Mahaprabhu's recommendation for all of us is Kirtaniya Sadahari. What does that mean? Yes. Then Param Vajayate, see Krishna, Sri Kirtanvi. The material world will be vanquished by the power of Sri Krishna Sankirtan, the holy names of Krishna. So on one hand, he's relieving the anxiety of Prithviraj, because just if, what to speak of, if chanting Krishna's names removes all inauspiciousness, what hope, what chance of inauspiciousness to be there when Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, is present? So don't worry, everything will work out just fine. But also we're hearing something in this too. We're hearing this, and as Pariksit Maharaj's anxiety is being relieved, we're getting a very important instruction as well, although it apparently isn't directed towards us. But because we're fortunate enough to hear this, we're being told that when we're in any anxious situation, as Prabhupada explained in the first purport to the first text, we should take shelter of Krishna's names. Here is Prabhupada's purport here. Sukadev Goswami spoke this verse to mitigate the anxiety of Maharaj Pariksit. Maharaj Pariksit was a devotee of Krishna, and therefore when he understood that Putana was causing disturbances in Gokul, he was somewhat perturbed. Sukadev Goswami therefore assured him that there was no danger in Gokul. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura sung, Namasraya kari jatana tumi takaha apana kaje. Everyone is thus advised to seek shelter in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and remain engaged in his own occupational duty. So namasraya kari means take shelter of Krishna's names, but take shelter of them, not just chant, but take shelter of them. So there is no loss in this, and the gain is tremendous. Even from a material point of view, everyone should take to chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to be safe from all kinds of danger. From the material point of view, even. The pure devotee, he takes shelter of Krishna out of his great love, not out of fear of material existence. But sometimes Krishna so kindly sends fearful things to push his devotees towards taking shelter of him. And then they, when they run to Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna grabs them and holds them tightly. Sometimes in the material world we forget where our shelter is. So Krishna sometimes, rah! He gives us a scare. So we run, go running to him. Prabhupada continues, this world is full of danger, padam padam yadvi padam. Therefore we should be encouraged to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra so that our family, society, neighborhood and nation, everything will be smooth and free from danger. So, text 4. Sakhechari. Khechari means, K means outer space, and Chari, K means ether. And Chari means who moves in the ether, so this was, she was a witch. It's Putana. So once a time, Putana Rakshasi, who could move according to her desire and was wandering in outer space, converted herself by mystic power into a very beautiful woman and thus entered Gokul, the abode of Nanda Maharaj. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, to enact the pastime of killing Putana, Krishna's Leela Shakti inspired Putana to enter Gokul as if invited by death to be killed. With this intention, the verse is spoken. One evening, Putana entered Gokul by flying through the sky, Utpatva. An alternative reading is Upetya, arriving. By mystic power, Putana took on the form of a beautiful woman. All the Brishbasis were so much enamored by Putana's beauty that they gave her access to all the houses in town. She, by her mystic powers, became so beautiful. Through the Lord's illusory, though the Lord's illusory energy has no desire, by the will of the Lord, Putana displayed her illusions just like a magician to bewilder the eternal devotees of Braja and to unfold the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. So the Brijavasis, just like in this world, everyone is thinking, yes, I'm doing this, and today I have this schedule, then I'm going to be doing that. But really, we have no power to do anything. Really, this tiny, insignificant soul who is me is being moved around by Krishna's powerful Maya Shakti. So in the spiritual world, the mover really is Krishna's internal energy. Because we're tiny, we always need a shelter. So one, when we're being moved by the material energy, when we've taken shelter of Maya, the result is that we're thinking, yes, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be happy. Yes, I shall organize this, control this, move this, push that. And the result will be I'll remove my misery, I'll be happy. And the result actually is that we become more and more entangled in the material world and we become more and more miserable and frustrated. But in the spiritual world, the center of the living entity's consciousness is, oh, what can I do for Krishna? And the internal energy moves all the circumstances around, and the living entity simply experiences ecstasy. So this is the yoga maya moving the material, the spiritual energy, so that all the devotees will experience their varieties of ecstasy, because Krishna is the center. This is the spiritual world. 5-6. Description of Putana. Her hips were full, her breasts were large and firm, seeming to overburden her slim waist, and she was dressed very nicely. Her hair, adorned with a garland of Mallika flowers. What's Mallika flowers? Are they? Yeah? Huh?
Tuberose.
Are they? I don't know. I was wondering. Aren't they jasmines of some sort? Anyway.
Tuberose.
Okay, well anyway, they had very, very nice flowers in her hair. She was so beautiful. And the garland of Mallika flowers was scattered, or hair was casually scattered about her beautiful face with garlands of flowers. Her earrings were brilliant. And as she smiled very attractively, this is Putana using her mystic powers, she was glancing upon everyone, charming everyone with her glances and her smiles. Her beauty drew the attention of all the inhabitants of Braja, especially the men. Yes. When the gopis saw her, they thought that the beautiful goddess of fortune, holding a lotus flower in her hand, had come to see her husband, Krishna. While searching for small children, let me just read what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. This is 5-6. Seeing that beautiful woman holding a lotus flower in her hands, the gopis concluded that she was Lakshmi, the embodiment of all wealth and jewels. She must have come to see her husband Narayan, the worshipable family deity of Nanda Maharaj. She was so extremely attractive that the Brishbasis let her enter the inner chambers of the houses without obstruction. They couldn't conceive that anyone so beautiful. They were just bewildered by her beauty. Text 7. While searching for small children, Putana, whose business was to kill them, entered the house of Nanda Maharaj unobstructed, having been sent by, on one level, Kamsa, on another level, her own desire to kill Krishna, but on the highest level, being sent by the superior potency of Krishna. Without asking anyone's permission, she entered Nanda Maharaj's room, where she saw the child sleeping in bed, his unlimited power covered like powerful fire covered by ashes. You've seen coals that are red hot, and if you would touch them, your hands would immediately start burning, but they're covered by ash, and you don't even know that there's any fire there. So she saw this boy. He was holding, withdrawing his potency, so she wouldn't... the pastime had to go on. She could understand that the child was ordinary, but... excuse me, was not ordinary, but was meant to kill all demons. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport to 7. Putana, the killer of children, saw the child who, though he himself is the killer of the wicked, appeared easy to kill. At that time, Krishna concealed his unlimited powers, just as a fire is sometimes covered by ashes. Lord Sri Krishna, the all-pervading Supersoul, lying on the bed. All-pervading Supersoul means he knew everything. He knew what she was thinking. He's omniscient. He's lying on the bed. Understood that Putana, a witch who was expert in killing small children, had come to kill him. Therefore, as if afraid of her, he closed his eyes. Thus Putana took upon her lap him who was to be her own annihilation, just as an unintelligent person places a sleeping snake on his lap, thinking the snake to be a rope. What an example! If there was a horrible cobra and someone foolishly picked it up, cobras are... They're the heaviest of snakes. They're full of so much venom and they're so hot. And other snakes are shy. Most of them are shy, even poisonous snakes. But cobras are vicious, especially the black cobras. They're vicious, small ones. And they see you. So imagine what would happen. One delicately, mistakenly, an illusion, picks up a cobra and places it on his lap. He's sleeping and places it on his lap, thinking that it's a rope. What is his fortune? What is his future? It is certain. It is sealed. He's dead. So Putana, thinking that Krishna was a baby, when in fact he is the all-pervading Supersoul, but even more the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she didn't have the slightest idea of what she was doing when she placed this child on her lap. Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, there are two perplexities. When Krishna saw that Putana had come to kill him, he thought, what did he do? Does anyone remember? He closed his eyes as if afraid. So Vishwanath will say something nice about that. He thought that since this woman was present with motherly affection, although artificial, he had to offer her a benediction. Now, this we'll discuss later, but please hear this, that he thought this woman was present with motherly affection, although artificial. She was disguising herself as one who wanted to show affection to Krishna. In fact, she was trying to kill him. So he thought on one level, she's trying to offer me a benediction. Excuse me. I have to offer her a benediction because she's coming to me with some affection. But yet, she's coming to kill me. So this is two perplexities. I have to benedict her, yet she's coming to kill me. She's a Rakshasi. Therefore, he looked at her with a little perplexity. and then closed his eyes again. Putanarakshasi was also perplexed. She was not intelligent enough to understand that she was taking a sleeping snake on her lap. She thought the snake to be an ordinary rope. The two words, antakam and anantam, are contradictory. Ananta means unlimited, and anantakam means... Where is it? Antakam, for her own annihilation. So antakam, because of not being intelligent, Putana thought she could kill her antakam, the source of her annihilation. But because he is ananta, unlimited, no one can kill him. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse shows an opportunity for the Lord's power of omniscience to render service at the time of an approaching evil. What a comment. All the Shaktis, Krishna has all powers, and they are simply trying to serve Krishna. They are all his potencies, and they're trying to serve him. So this is an opportunity. When that potency of omniscience would get in the way, like when Krishna's playing with his boyfriends, he's going to lose, and he was going to become angry. Then the potency of omniscience, if it would come, then remember, you're God. How could you be so much into this game? You're playing with the boys. If the potency, you have much other. It's almost time for an incarnation of Varaha. You have to organize that. What to speak of this fellow over there? Look what he did. That he's killed somebody. He's going to have to get punished as a super soul. You're going to have to do that. And he's aware of everything at all times. So that wouldn't be appropriate service for the Shakti, of the potency of omniscience, to intrude at that time. But here, it was the perfect service. So, though Krishna fully understood Putana's identity, he lay there with his eyes closed like a normal child. Why did Krishna close his eyes? To show his fearfulness as a small child. Because he was acting as a small child. To avoid seeing such an inauspicious person. To avoid making the violence auspicious by the touch of his auspicious glance. To avoid the shame of killing a woman posing as a mother, and to avoid seeing the inauspiciousness of Putana's death. The mind of Krishna is very wonderful. It is unlimitedly wonderful. Then Putana placed Krishna in her lap. Krishna is called Ananta, which means without end, and Antakam, because he brings about the end. This was an opportunity for Krishna's destructive energy to operate. Putana held on her lap that person who is without limit in all space and time. Antakam and Ananta are also contradictory. Contradictory words to express this wonderful mellow known as Adbhutaras, means wonderment. Wonderment, awesomeness, like that. Awesome wonder. As a foolish person picks up a sleeping snake thinking in a rope, similarly, Putana foolishly held Krishna, thinking him an ordinary, helpless child. So Prabhupada is very much followed Shiva Vishnu of Chakravarti Thakura. Putana Rakshashi's heart was fierce and cruel, but she looked like a very affectionate mother. Thus she resembled a sharp sword in a soft sheath. Although seeing her within the room, she was soft on the outside, but like a sword meant to cut and kill on the inside, her heart. Yasoda and Rohini, overwhelmed by her beauty, did not stop her, but remained silent because she treated the child like a mother. So the child was already in her lap. We'll read the first half of Prabhupada's purport. Although Putana was an outsider, and although she was personified fierce death because the determination within her heart was to kill the child, when she directly came and placed the child on her lap to offer the child her breast to suck, the mothers were so captivated by her beauty that they did not prohibit her. Sometimes a beautiful woman is dangerous because everyone being captivated by external beauty, Maya Mohita, is unable to understand what is in her mind. Like this. The famous, there was always, when we were growing up, we heard that there was a famous spy lady who used to kill people. Her name was Mata Hari. Somehow or another, she had a Vedic name. But she was very, very beautiful. And Prabhupada also told these about they had a particular name where they, from their childhood they would take poison and their tongues, they would take a little bit of poison and then a little bit of poison every day and they would grow up to be very beautiful and they were trained that when they would kiss somebody, their tongue was so poisonous that it would kill them. So the mind is the what has to be appreciated and feared depending upon the kind of mind it is. So on that very spot, the fiercely dangerous Rakshasi took Krishna on her lap and pushed her breast into his mouth. The nipple of her breast was smeared with a dangerous, immediately effective poison. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, becoming very angry at her, took hold of her breast, squeezed it very hard with both hands, and sucked out both the poison and her life. Unbearably pressed in every vital point, the demon Putana began to cry, "Please leave me! Leave me! Suck my breast no longer!" Perspiring, her eyes wide open, and her arms and legs flailing, she cried very loudly again and again. Short purports by Prabhupada. Lord Krishna was not angry at Putana for his own sake. Rather, he was angry because the Rakshasi had killed so many small children in Brajabhumi. Because Krishna is very attached to all the residents of Brajabhumi. It is said that when later on the acharyas described that Subari Muni, when he was staying in the Yamuna and he was trying to protect the fish of the Yamuna. He wasn't trying to protect them because they were in the Yamuna and they were Brijbasis. He was just trying to, I am the protector of the fish. His consciousness wasn't trying to, you were in Vrindavan, Krishna's place, and Garuda is taking you? No, this is not proper. There was no connection in his mind that, this is Yamuna, this is Vrindavan, this is Braja, this is Krishna's place. And therefore it was an offense. Because Krishna is so dear, he feels very close to the Vrindavasis. So here, Krishna was angry. Therefore, he decided that she should be punished by having to forfeit her life. The Rakshasi was severely punished by Krishna, as Prabhupada's purport to 11. She threw her arms and legs about. And Krishna also began to kick her with his legs to punish her properly for her mischievous activities. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. In that place, the fierce woman, Putana, offered her poison-besmeared breast to the baby. Krishna held Putana's breast so tightly with his two hands that she could not pull him away. Krishna was filled with anger, knowing that Putana planned to kill all the children of Braja by offering her breast to them. Therefore, Krishna's power of destruction, another power, comes to serve Krishna. His Samhara Shakti sucked out her impure life. Krishna did not personally do this. Though we may say a man cuts down the tree, actually it is the axe held by the man that cuts down the tree. Similarly, it is stated that Krishna sucked out Putana's life air, but actually his Samhara Shakti performed the work. And in the next verse, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, being squeezed by the baby Krishna in all her sensitive points, Putana began flailing her legs and arms and hands. As Putana screamed loudly and forcefully, the earth with its mountains and outer space with its planets trembled. The lower planets in all directions vibrated and people fell down, fearing that thunderbolts were falling upon them. In this way, the demon Putana, very much aggrieved because her breast was being attacked by Krishna, lost her life. O King Pirikit, opening her mouth wide and spreading her arms and legs and hair, she fell down in the pasturing ground in her original form as a Rakshasi, as Vrishasura had fallen when killed by the thunderbolt of Indra. Prabhupada's purport. Putana was a great Rakshasi who knew the art of covering her original form by mystic power. But mystic power could not hide her as she appeared in her original form. O King Pirikit, when the gigantic body of Putana fell to the ground, it smashed all the trees within a limit of 12 miles. Appearing in a gigantic body, she was certainly extraordinary. Because of the Greek prophet's purport, because of the grievous hurt imposed upon her by Krishna sucking her breast, Putana, while dying, not only left the room, but abandoned the village and fell down on the pasturing ground in her gigantic body. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, due to the intense pain, Putana ran out of the house, fled the village, and fell down to the ground on the outskirts of Braja. The word api signifies that not only while living, but even while dying, Putana was killing other living entities. All the trees with an area of 6 kroshas, 12 miles, were crushed by the falling body of the gigantic witch. It was remarkable that only the trees were crushed and none of the village houses. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's Vaishnava Toshani Tika, these trees, which were laden with pleasurable fruits, were located in Kamsa's personal gardens. There was a little special hint for Kamsa in that, some special mercy. This is what she looked like. The Rakshasi's mouth was full of teeth. Each resembled, just at the same time, keep in your mind that Nanda Maharaj is coming on the road thinking Vasudeva has warned that something horrible is going to happen. And especially the gopis, the cowherd men, but the gopis, the elderly gopis, that this beautiful woman has walked in. And they're so charmed by her, and she seems to be showing, want to show motherly affection to Krishna, and they're so charmed that she walks right in the house, right into Nanda Maharaj's room, right to the child, picks up the child, and is holding her, and they all simply love Krishna, this beautiful boy. And suddenly, Krishna closes his eyes. It's not very strange. And suddenly, she starts screaming, "Leave me, child! Leave me, child!" And she runs out of the house, and she's taking Krishna with her. And she runs out of the village and runs to the edge of Braja practically, and she's screaming so loudly that the upper planets are disturbed and the lower planets are disturbed and the earth is trembling and she's screaming and her form is changing. And the cowherd ladies simply love Krishna. Just glimpse at the terror of love of Krishna that they're experiencing. the residents of Vrindavan, they would give up their life a million times to save Krishna, the smallest inconvenience. And look what was happening. By Krishna's arrangement. This is how Krishna's... Look what he's doing. He's churning the emotions of those who love him. And this is what she looked like. The Rakshasi's mouth was full of teeth, each resembling the front of a plow. Huge teeth. Her nostrils were deep like mountain caves, and her breasts resembled big slabs of stone fallen from a hill. Her scattered hair was the color of copper. What color is copper? If it's oxidized, or reddish. The sockets of her eyes appeared like deep blind wells. None of these images are very beautiful, are they? Her fearful thighs resembled the banks of a river. Her arms, legs, and feet seemed like big bridges. And her abdomen appeared like a dried up lake. The hearts, ears, and heads of the coward men and women were already shocked by the Rakshasi screaming. And when they saw the fierce wonder of her body, they were even more frightened. Without fear, the child Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked him up. So they went from terror, fear, to what?
Relief.
Huh?
Relief.
What a relief. Oh, Krishna's okay. Which was another ecstasy. And then they saw him just playing there as if nothing was wrong. And they just came forward with great jubilation, relief, jubilation, and they picked him up. Purport. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Although the Rakshasi Putana could increase or decrease her bodily size by her mystic abilities and thus gain proportionate power, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally powerful in any transcendental form. Contrast between Putana and Krishna. Krishna is the real personality of Godhead, because whether as a child or as a grown-up young man, he is the same person. He does not need to become powerful by meditation or any other external endeavor. Therefore, when the greatly powerful Putana expanded her body, Krishna remained the same small child and fearlessly played on the upper portion of her breast. Sad Aishwarya Purna, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always full in all potencies, regardless of whether he is present in this form or that. His potencies are always full. Parasya Shaktiya Vivadaiva Shriyate. He can display all potencies under any circumstance. Thereafter, so everyone rushed there. Thereafter, Mother Yasoda and Rohini, along with the other elderly gopis, waved about the switch of a cow, the chamara, to give full protection to the child Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti's Thakur's purports to 18:19. Putana's chest was raised like a hill, suitable for playing. The gopis entered the maternity ward, but they did not see Krishna there. Yasoda and Rohini lay on the ground unconscious. They fainted, unconscious, while all this was going on. In the ecstatic fear for Krishna that they were experiencing. Desiring to see Krishna, the gopis went outside the house and saw him playing on Putana. This verse mentions that Yasoda, Rohini, and the other gopis performed rituals of protection. Yasoda and Rohini did not take a leading role, however, because they were extremely affected by anxiety for Krishna's safety. The elderly gopis waved a cow's tail around all of Krishna's limbs to protect him. They also offered other items such as mustard seeds and touched Krishna with the edge of the winnowing basket. That must be the basket for separating the rice or something, or wheat, chaff, something. Winnowing basket. I can look that up. So then, the child was thoroughly washed with cow urine and then smeared with the dust raised by the movement of the cows. Then different names of the Lord were applied with cow dung on 12 different parts of his body, beginning with the forehead as done in implying tilak. In this way, the child was given protection. The gopis first executed the process of achman, drinking a sip of water from the right hand. They purified their bodies and hands with the nyas mantra, and then applied the same mantras upon the body of the child. Then it describes, Sukadev Goswami informed Maharaj Prikith that the gopis, following the proper system, protected Krishna, their child, with this mantra. May Aja protect your legs, may Maniman protect your knees, Yajna your thighs, Achyuta the upper part of your waist, Hayagriva your abdomen. So they're chanting all these mantras to protect Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because even though they saw what he had just done, they had just killed this Rakshasi, still their love for him was so great, they did not consider, oh, he must be this god or something like that. They just saw how much they loved him. This is the resonance of Vrindavan. And it continues all the different mantras that they chanted. Krishna Garbha, protect your intelligence, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your soul. There's verses and verses of mantras. May Lord Yajnavalkya, the fearful enemy of all evil planets, protect you while you enjoy life. The evil witches known as Dakinis, Yatadinis, Kusamadis are the greatest enemies of children. So there, this seems to be a comment by Sukadev Goswami. The evil witches known as Dakinis, Yatadhinis, Kusamadas are the greatest enemies of children, and the evil spirits like Bhutas, Pretas, Prasachas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Vinayakas, as well as witches like Kotaras, Revati, Jeshas, Putana, and Matrika are always ready to give trouble to the body, the life air, and the senses, causing loss of memory, madness, and bad dreams. Like the most experienced evil stars, they create all kinds of disturbances, especially for children. But one can vanquish them simply by uttering Lord Vishnu's names. For when Lord Vishnu's names resounds, all of them become afraid and go away. I remember when we used to live in Hong Kong, there was one young Chinese man, this was during the time of the Cultural Revolution, in the early 70s, and he had swum across the Mirs Bay to escape with some of his friends. They tied themselves together. He was a Christian, and one of them got eaten by a shark and things like that. You know, they risked their lives to escape from China, you know, and they came to Hong Kong, and then somehow or another he would come to our temple, and he used to have problems with ghosts. And he told me that even when he would chant the names of Lord Jesus, and he was a very nice Christian young man, he said the ghosts would not go away. But when he would chant Krishna's names, they would go away. So this is a message for anyone who is troubled by anything. Take shelter of Krishna's names. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, all the gopis headed by Mother Yasoda were bound by maternal affection. After they thus chanted mantras to protect the child, Mother Yasoda gave the child the nipple of her breast to suck and then got him to lie down on the bed. Purport. When a baby drinks milk from the breast of his mother, this is a good sign of health. So the elderly gopis were not satisfied with chanting mantras to give protection to Krishna. They also tested whether their child's health was in order. When the child sucked the breast, this confirmed that he was healthy. And when the gopis were fully satisfied, they had the child lie down in his bed. So that's one part of the drama. Now Nanda Maharaj is just coming back. So what they just experienced was an eruption of different emotions. based on Krishna, love, their love for Krishna, because of those emotions, ecstasy is caused. So meanwhile, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, returned from Mathura, and when they saw on the way the gigantic body of Putana lying dead, they were struck with wonder. Just imagine. They were already in anxiety because of what Vasudeva had told Nanda Maharaj, Prabhupada's purport. Nanda Maharaj wondered, his wonderment, they were struck with wonder, may be understood in various ways. First of all, the cowherd men had never before seen such a gigantic body in Vrindavan, and therefore they were struck with wonder. Then they began to consider where such a body had come from, whether it had dropped from the sky, or whether by some mistake, or by the power of some mystic yogini, they had come to some place other than Vrindavan. They could not actually guess what had happened, and therefore they were struck with wonder. Nanda Maharaj, 32, and the other gopas exclaim, "My dear friends, you must know that Anakadandhubi Vasudev has become a great saint or a master of mystic powers. Otherwise, how could he have foreseen this calamity and predicted it to us?" The inhabitants of Braja cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces with the help of axes, and then they threw the pieces far away, covered them with wood, and burned them to ashes. They thought she was like a snake, and a snake, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, even if killed, can come back to life when in contact with the air, and therefore the bodies should be burned. So therefore they burned her body. Because of Krishna's having sucked the breast of the Rakshasi Putana, when Krishna killed her, she was immediately freed of all material contamination, her sinful reactions automatically vanished, and therefore, when her gigantic body was being burnt, the smoke emanating from the body was fragrant, like agaru incense. Putana was always hankering for the blood of human children, and with that desire she came to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breast to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement. What then is to be said of those who had natural devotion and affection for Krishna as mothers, and who offered him their breast to suck, or offered something very dear as a mother offers something to a child? Prabhupada's purport. Putana had no affection for Krishna. So they are intertwined in this wonderful pastime which shows rasa, the loving exchanges with Krishna. There are also very important instructions for us who are hearing it. Putana had no affection for Krishna. Rather, she was envious and wanted to kill him. Nonetheless, because with or without knowledge she offered her breast, she attained the highest achievement in life. But the offerings of devotees attracted to Krishna in parental love are always sincere. A mother likes to offer something to her child with affection and love. There is no question of envy. So here we can make a comparative study. If Putana could attain such an exalted position in spiritual life by neglectfully, enviously making an offering to Krishna, what is to be said of Mother Yasoda and the other gopis who serve Krishna with such great affection and love, offering everything for Krishna's satisfaction? The gopis automatically achieve the highest perfection. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended the affection of the gopis, either in maternal affection or in conjugal love, as the highest perfection in life. Still a bit more, not too much though. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains many of the things that Prabhupada said in his comment on this verse. But here, listen. If Putana, a demonic Rakshasi, could attain the highest destination, then what can be attained by a faithful human being? If one is a devotee, how much more he will attain? So faith, a devotee. So if a Rakshasa can attain this, a faithful person will attain more, and a devotee still more. And will not a pure devotee of the Lord, Rakta, attain the highest award? So demon, faithful, devotee, pure devotee. Then what to speak of the elderly gopis who had extreme affection for the Lord during the stealing of the calves by Lord Brahma? Paying respects to Mother Yasoda from a distance, I place her in the highest position. Therefore, I will write no more because her love for Krishna is beyond words. The love of Mother Yasoda is beyond words. The Supreme Personality of Krishna is always situated within the core of hearts of the pure devotee, and he is always offered prayers by such worshipable personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Because Krishna embraced Putana's body with great pleasure and sucked her breast, although she was a great witch, she attained the position of a mother in the transcendental world and thus achieved the highest perfection. What then is to be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure and who offered their milk very jubilantly with great affection, exactly like that of a mother? The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation or oneness with the Brahman effulgence. For that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love, and Krishna sucked their breasts with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world after leaving their bodies. So these are comments inserted by Sukadeva Goswami to give us hints of the position of the residents of Vrindavan, and in this case, the motherly gopis especially. Upon smelling the fragrance of the smoke emanating from Putana's burning body, many inhabitants of Brajabhumi and distant places were astonished. "Where is this fragrance coming from?" they asked. Thus, they went to the spot where Putana's body was being burnt. When the inhabitants of Braj who had come from distant places heard the whole story of how Putana had come and then had been killed by Krishna, they were certainly astonished, and they offered their blessings to the child for his wonderful deed of killing Putana. Nanda Maharaj, of course, was very much obliged to Vasudev, who had foreseen the incident, and he simply thanked him, thinking how wonderful Vasudev was. "Oh, Maharaj Prickett, best of the Kurus," Nanda Maharaj was very liberal and simple. He immediately took his son Krishna on his lap as if Krishna had returned from death, and by formally smelling his son's head, Nanda Maharaj undoubtedly enjoyed transcendental bliss. Any person who hears with faith and devotion about how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Putana, and who thus invests his hearing in such childhood pastimes of Krishna, certainly attains attachment for Govinda, the Supreme Original Person. Prabhupada's purport. The incident in which the great witch attempted to kill the child but was killed herself is certainly wonderful. Therefore, this verse uses the word adbhutam, meaning specifically wonderful. Krishna has left us many wonderful narrations about him. Simply by reading these narrations as they are described in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one gains salvation from this material world and gradually develops attachment to and devotion for Govinda, the Adi Purusha. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of the Demon Putana. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ki jai. Mother Yasoda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura ki jai.